helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:06 on a beautiful Saturday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, the intergalactic headquarters of the Home and Garden Show. To our friends, to our fans, to our families, welcome back to the show. We have missed you. To those of you new to the show, here's how we are and what we do. Each and every Saturday from 6 to 8 a.m. right here on News 104.5 WOKV, I'm joined by the big guy, Sasquatch, yep, the Yeti, 6 foot 6, 232 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal, Mr. Larry O'Neill. You know Larry from his duties on TV as the host of Larry's Garden. You've seen him about town landscaping. He's the tall, tall man in the small straw hat. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, certified master inspector from Home Pro Inspections. You've seen me on HGTV as the house detective and possibly about town if you spend time in attics and crawl spaces. Larry's job here on the show is to be sure your grass is green, your fruit is sweet, and your flowers forever in bloom. Me, Wally Conway, Mr. Home Inspection, my job is to be sure your home is safe, secure, efficient, and forever a source of pleasure and pride. From time to time, Larry gets a house idea, I get a garden idea, we mix it up in the middle. But what makes the show fun for us is you. Your thoughts, your calls, your commentary. 855-765-1045. And if you're in the weightlessness of outer space,
yes,
at the International Space Station, I'll give it to
you. Trying to drink your coffee out of the cup.
Yeah, and you try to grab your pen as it's floating through the space capsule.
Yes, yeah.
855-765-1045. And a special shout out to our friends all around the world who are watching the live audio and video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Hello,
LinkedIn,
sir.
We're covering every base, you know?
Yes, outer space base.
We're techno guys now.
Yeah. I got to get a call into Elon Musk. If anybody knows Elon, I want to talk to him and see if we can't do a remote from Mars on SpaceX.
Oh, yeah.
I want to get a line for that.
Yes. I mean, it's incredible. Private industry is launching a trip to space. With, it's amazing.
Any home guy, any garden guy can broadcast.
Right.
How many can broadcast from outer space?
It's amazing.
So what's hot in the landscape universe?
Listen, you know, we're doing a lot of digging and planting and debris removal is part of the process, you know. And
you don't just heave it in the neighbor's yard?
No.
You don't stick it out in the street?
We love to do that. But
that's a novel approach to real estate.
Yeah,
to real
dump
estate,
it in the
landscape.
Dump it in the street.
You know, cleaning up your own mess.
Right. You know, that talking about garden debris, I think it fills about 20 or 30% of our landfill. If you can compost, that's another subject, but compost is a great way.
Free range compost.
Right, exactly. And even if you live in a restricted community, the state of Florida says you can have a compost pit.
Yep.
A compost place in the backyard. You know, it's got to be strategic.
They can regulate the where and the visibility, whether or not you have
so
one.
So composting, if everybody composted, which is, you know, I'm not all into, you know, these group things sometimes, saving pines and straws and all that stuff, but yeah. Composting would be a very effective way to reduce cost, increase the health of the environment.
Oh, yeah.
More than any other thing, you know, you're not having to build landfills. If you're figuring 20-30% is landfill.
And the expense to transport the junk.
It's huge. And then increase your overall healthiness of your garden and landscape. So if you're thinking about composting, it's fairly easy to do.
Have we reviewed recently the merits of free range composting?
Free range composting
is practiced by your very own Wally Conway.
Yes.
So composting, when you have to take those scraps,
flinging your stuff out the window,
walking it out to the barrel, that's so intense.
Right, yeah.
But adjacent to our dining room table, we have a double sliding glass door. Merely open the door and without even getting up, sling it into the yard.
It does. The Indians have been doing it for years, you know, for decades before, you know, they're putting those fruits right next to.
We've been doing it for 12 years at the house.
They have the lush garden on the side of the house, you know.
And it attracts really good friends.
What am I doing out here that's different? It looks so green out here, you know.
The armadillos, the raccoons, the birds, the squirrels.
It's effective.
You know what happens? If we have dinner late, I have a raccoon that taps on the window. It's like, yo, dude.
He's looking.
Yeah.
Hey, well, he had these those feral cats, or these cats that live in the neighborhood. I get back at 9 o'clock, they'll be all out there on the front porch looking for me. You know, they knew that I get back at 9, and they know I always give them free food. They know the timing, cat, you know.
They do.
They'd be laying out on the lawn.
One time we were really late for dinner, and the raccoons were on the porch playing cards.
Yeah, waiting for you. Yeah, it's amazing. When it comes to food, they're very, very in tune to what's going on.
Free-range composting.
Digging up, you know, your shrubs is a laborious task, you know, and...
Laborious.
Laborious.
You got the accent on the wrong syllable.
Thank you for correcting me. It's a task that's going to involve some... Definitely some work. It is beyond a lot
of people. You talking to me about doing yard work? No way, man.
Yeah, it's beyond a lot of people because, you know, it's hot now. But now anybody could do this. You know, what I've done over a period of time is trying to figure out how to get this done besides...
How to dig a hole without doing work?
And shovels and getting it done quickly.
Talking dirty.
Oh, yeah. The best tool in your garage is a reciprocal saw. Reciprocal saw is a great tool.
Sawzall.
Sawzall is a brand name by Milwaukee.
Right.
But if you're going to work in your garden, you want to reduce your shrubs or dig them up, get a reciprocal saw. Reciprocal saws are electric power, but they have a good amount of power to them.
Yeah.
So you get something around 14 amps, something with some good power too.
So you're talking about a cordless.
It says amps on the electric.
The motor power. Okay.
Yeah, motor power.
Gotcha.
So what I do to reduce a shrub, let's say if I'm going to dig up a shrub, I first cut the top off, and then that would be the first step so I can get to the root mass. And I just get the longest reciprocal saw blade I can get, and the coarsest one, and I stick it directly, turn it on, stick it directly.
There's that baby right down in the ground.
Into the dirt, and I cut a kind of a cone shape around the shrub.
Uh-huh.
And I can remove a 12-foot shrub completely, I would say, by myself, in around 30 minutes.
That's a pro tip. That's a good tip.
That's cutting it down,
hauling
the debris to the street, and removing the root mass.
You ever hit a wire?
Sometimes I hit irrigation wires. Sometimes, you can always do a line locate. But you can remove basically a, 40 foot line of shrubs in less than, 8 hours, which is a lot, a lot of work.
I see me out in the yard with a sawzall digging in the dirt for 8 hours.
But if you're wanting to transplant
things. God bless landscapers.
And you want to transplant things, we used to have to do hack and shovel and hack. No,
that's a great
shovel.
Tip, a sawzall.
It will reduce your labor to nothing. It would you'll be doing 90% less.
What would happen if you tried that with a chainsaw?
Chainsaws will be destroyed. You cannot touch a chainsaw to the dirt.
Right.
The chainsaw should be the furthest away from the dirt as you could possibly get it. It will ruin a chainsaw. Ruins a chain immediately.
The risk of slinging that chain at yourself.
Right, if you break it, slinging it out. But you can cut the top off with a chainsaw. Yeah, right. Sure, you cut the top off.
The reason for my question was to remind people, don't stick a chainsaw in the dirt.
Oh, yeah, don't. Yeah. It's the biggest waste of money. If you want to go ahead and waste money and put a chainsaw in the dirt, that will just ruin it. So that's a gardening tip. If you're transplanting, you want to move a shrub or get rid of a shrub. You know, there's another, it was out there the other day, and a guy was out, a guy is probably in his 80s, and we're working on at the neighbor's house, and he was out there trying
elder to abuse. So this 80-year-old gentleman hired you to do landscaping.
You got him
down in the dirt with a sawzall.
We were working at this guy's house, and the neighbor guy was around 80 years old. He was out there trying to get a shrub out by his mailbox.
Good recovery.
So I just grabbed the reciprocal saw. We had a battery operated run, done in a few minutes.
And that was nice of you.
Yeah. So that's a good gardening tip.
Very good.
So if you have a lar, if you're, want to resaw your yard, another tip here is if you could save about half the price on resodding if you plug your lawn.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you're a young guy. Biden, remember when we were young?
It's the Biden method.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. We were young. We didn't have any money, but we still, you know, we wanted to have a grass out front. We had a lot more time than we had money. So one of the key things, if you want to plug and start your your lawn and make it look nice, you know, you want pride of home ownership, and so you want to get first. You want to get some sterile soil. You know, it would be composted soil, topsoil, good topsoil.
How thick?
You want to put around 2 to 3 inches on the top. That's going to enhance the in-grow environment. It's going to reduce the amount of weeds that are going to
So that extra time and expense of putting down 2 inches of topsoil, doesn't that kind of negate the savings of less sod?
Well, it's going to eliminate the weed management.
Right.
Because if you've had a lot of weeds for a long time, you know, every cubic foot of dirt is going to have, you know, 500 weeds in it. So
sure.
As soon as you put your plug in, you got that open space. It's going to be weeding up quickly. You're going to be out there with a pump-up sprayer. Then you want to get maybe a half a pallet of sod, and cut it into about 3-inch squares. You can go to Home Depot or Lowe's or the local garden center and get a little 3x3 unit.
Little chopper.
And it removes these little squares. You just fill those in. If you even want to be more frugal and you've already got some grass already established, you can take your plugs from your existing lawn.
Right.
Existing lawn. Fill those in with the topsoil.
Not only you got to cut it. You got to cut it vertical and you got to cut under it. We're talking a lot of work.
Well, once you cut through the root system of St. Augustine of your 3x3 plug unit, it's a little thing. You step down on it, cuts it.
Yeah.
And then you pull that right out, you put it in the next spot, and then you just fill in with topsoil. But you'll save, I mean, it's a lot of labor. It's a lot of labor. But we did a lawn, a big lawn, because it was so big. We said,
what
we'd
about
do it.
It
would save about $10,000.
But it used 10,000 hours. You worked for $1 an hour.
Yeah, but we don't work for $1 an hour, but for sure. But we saved. It was a big lawn, and it was a huge space.
Man.
If they had a budget, we plugged it.
What about the smoothness of a lawn? So you've done all those plugs. They're individual plugs. So when you do sod, it has a little bit of a leveling effect in the imperfections.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you plug. Now you got, and you go to mow, you got all these bumps and all.
Well, you want
to. That sounds like a lot of extra.
The bumps, that's going to be handled with good grading.
Okay.
And then when you plug the grass, you put a little bit of fertilizer by it, and you should be, St. Augustine should fill in around 2 to 3 months. You
want to get that's out. Very quick.
That's St. Augustine is pretty quick. Zoysia's always a little
It's slower. A race, though. It's a race between the weeds and the St. Augustine.
Right. The key thing is weed control. You got good irrigation, so you can control the water. But on a large project,
why is it weeds grow so much better than grass? Why don't we cultivate weeds?
They're competitive. And one thing, when you plant breed, we're breeding for a desired effect, is the more aesthetic appearance. And somewhat, a lot of times, like even hybrid roses, they're bred for aesthetic appearance, so they neglect the disease or they neglect the
So
fragrance.
If the lion is the king of the jungle,
right?
What plant can defeat any other plant for space?
That's a great question. That's a very good question. What plant you just can't basically
at the
stop?
Top of the plant food chain.
Either the top,
the plant
torpedo grass.
Torpedo. Well, that's
common Bermuda.
Yeah,
common Bermuda and torpedo grass.
Deep root.
Yeah, they go down 4 feet.
Yeah,
and they can live. Under the most, you could bury the, you could dig up a piece of torpedo grass root and bury it 3 to 4 feet.
See if, let's assume that you're correct, mm-hmm. that the torpedo grass is the alpha plant in the forest.
If
I was a plant hybridizer, I would take that torpedo grass and then say, how do I hybridize it to be attractive to a lawn?
It's a good idea.
And then you're the alpha guy.
You know, 20 years. It takes about 20 years to hybrid it.
People have been putzing around with grass for centuries.
Yeah. I mean, it's a torpedo grass. It doesn't mow well. It doesn't get thick. That's the only bad problem.
Something to work on.
All right.
It's 6:20 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Brief break. Jumping right on the phones for your calls. Thrilled to hear from you. That number is 855-765-4255. 1045. Stay with us. Be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 626 here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, enjoying the day with my exceptionally large landscaper buddy, Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. Taking your calls at 855-765-1045. You know, I'm sitting here watching our live video stream as we're enjoying the show, and we just had a ghost from the past at WOKV check in, now living in Greece. Uh-huh. Many people in the area knew Stammy Turner.
Yep.
Wonderful person who now runs a travel agency in Greece. And to keep her connected to friends, fans, and family here in greater Jacksonville.
What time is it in Greece?
What time is it in Greece?
7 hours. About 7 hours out of us, right?
Yeah, well, let's see. Six or seven.
Yeah.
If she's listening, she'll check in.
Yeah.
But that's pretty neat. So big shout out. Another good reason to enjoy the live video stream is you get to see old friends from around the world. I got my buddy Mark Frederick. She usually checks in. I went to kindergarten with.
Mm-hmm.
And now Stammy from WOKV.
That's amazing.
Yeah, my buddy Donnie just checked in from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I always share with my real estate friends, too, if you go to the live video feed and you have an open house this week, put it in the live video feed of our show. We have people from all over the country, all over the world, Greece, Tennessee. Tennessee's not all over the world. But anyway, good way to promote your own stuff. I have shared with you over these last few weeks that Donnie and I have put a contract in on a condominium. A little waterfront place, so I have a big boat slip and a really tiny condominium. They were originally built in 1969, then renovated during the great renovation craze in about 2005. So we're purchasing everything in the house now is 15, 16 years old. So essentially it's a gut rehab that we're taking on. And all of the things we see in home inspections after, 25 years, and when it's suddenly your own home, you're like, oh, what am I going to do? And I'll give you one of my classic pet peeves that we're going to have to correct in our condo. We don't close until the 13th, but man, we got the list ready to go. And when we're going to hit this thing like crazy, people. I can hear the Homeowners Association calling me now. How many people have you got in there working with what kind of equipment? We're doing it big. So I'm sorry in advance. Anyway. Bathroom exhaust fans. You know my pet peeve about the performance of bathroom exhaust fans. The bathroom exhaust fan belongs over the tub or shower. And the reason for that, that's where you make the heat and steam. The purpose of that fan is to extract it. You'll know that your bath fan is perfectly located when you can take your steamiest possible hot shower and your mirrors don't fog.
Yes.
That means you're not sucking that humidity. So lo and behold, two bathrooms, two bath fans, both set out in the middle of the bathroom. That's going to change. Going to cut those babies out.
A bath fan in the shower.
Absolutely.
Yes.
With a light kit.
Okay.
Such that I can, when you turn one on, the other comes on. So that we're always extracting moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Then the effervescence of toilet use, it still works just fine.
Install a bath fan in the toilet. You know, they should have a bath fan installed in a toilet.
That has been tried.
They probably have that in Japan. Yeah, you got some sophisticated toilets in Japan.
Well, since you mentioned it, here's the challenge with that.
Getting water on.
Keeping it clean.
Yeah.
So you have various extractions from your anatomy, some of which are kind of misty, some of which are kind of moist. And to have that in an exhaust fan is to pull microfecal matter through that and into the fan blades.
Oh, I had to clean that up.
You got a visual on that?
So that
is the reason that they've not been able to design something that is integral to the toilet bowl
and
itself.
Easy to clean.
And it's the cleanliness issue. You asked. You better take a break after that.
You should have been quiet.
Yeah, you should. It's 6:30 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Some wake-you-up music.
Yeah.
6:37 here. It's 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. I was listening during the break, which I listened to intently, listened to Mark Kinder from Affordable Water talking about the significance of the ion exchange in order to get soft water. Soft water only occurs when you're removing hardness. The right. only way to remove hardness is the ion exchange. The only way to have that ion exchange is in a system that, in fact, has salt.
Right.
That salt can be sodium-based. That's just dandy for most. For those who choose not to have sodium, even those micro amounts of sodium used, you can use potassium.
Right.
And it works great, lasts a long time. You know, in my own home here, I haven't been on well water for the last 35 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never had to deal with chlorine. Mm-hmm. Now, as we're preparing the build-out, the renovation of the condo, we will, in fact, be drinking some JEA water. Has chlorine in it.
Right.
The Water Quality Association of Florida says it is an unscrupulous ad practice to tell, unethical is the word they use, unethical to make false claims about chlorine being deadly, and it's unethical to do these crazy in-house demos where things change color and you say, look, look, the chlorine's going to kill you.
Chemistry magistry.
We must have chlorine in a municipal water supply so that it can be safely processed, transported, and stored by JEA as an example, or whoever your water supplier is. Mm-hmm. Now, once the water gets to your home, there it is at your tap,
yes.
you no longer need the chlorine.
Right.
And for most of us, we don't want the chlorine.
Right.
So there's nothing that says, hey, it's great for you. It's an enhancement to consume chlorine in your water. It's just an enhancement to prevent disease in the delivery process. So once it gets to your house, you want to get that out of there. How do you do that? Very easy to do. Charcoal filter, reasonably inexpensive to do, and you can have chlorine-free water in your home. It can be whole house or just point source right where it comes out of your faucet or mixer.
Tastes better.
Tastes better, smells a little better.
Right.
And you've removed that whole issue of, hey, I've got chlorine in my water.
And not difficult to maintain.
Now, let me tell you this, dog breath.
What's that?
I'm a little bit of a health nut, though I don't work out as much.
You don't
much
look
as
like
you.
It.
Yeah, I offered that to you. I dropped 4 pounds this week.
How? Use the bathroom?
Once.
Okay.
Right. Anyway, back to chlorine and sodium. I would far rather have micro amounts of sodium in my water.
Right, sure.
Than chlorine.
Right.
It's kind of a comical thing. So you're having this wonderful meal at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever says, honey, would you pass me the chlorine?
Right.
Yeah. Why not? Because it's not good. It doesn't taste good. It doesn't smell good. It's not good for you. It can kill you.
Right.
But you often say, honey, will you please pass the salt?
Everything you have has salt on it.
This hot salt hysteria.
I mean, I looked at it. I went to Starbucks the other day and I got one of those little menu meal things. 960, you know, the health food stuff.
Yeah.
960
milligrams of sodium.
Salt. That which is like, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
you can overdo it.
I mean, 960 is a lot.
Yeah. You know? So if you want to learn more, you want to get all the facts straight from the source the way I do, licensed people.
Test in, test out. If it does, you know, test it when you're getting ready to determine what type of hardness you got. And then when you've hired a system or use a system, it should test. Zero.
Diagnostics and confirmation, just like medicine.
Right.
AffordableWaterJacks.com. Let's head over to Larry. No, a different Larry.
Yes.
On the west side's got something killing his trees, and it looks like a hairy fungus. Whoa.
Hairy fungus. Okay.
Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What kind of tree do you have?
There's been a total of about five of them now that's died.
Wow.
Yeah, one was a huge weeping willow I had draped over the pond.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a couple maple trees that died. And one other I can't identify. I think it was some type of oak.
How long is the hair on your hairy fungus?
Well, to give you a better example, I have some medium to small pear trees that were doing good. And then I noticed that they got the little patches of fungus, and then little patches of fungus would look like the hair growing on them.
Uh-huh.
And once I noticed that, the leaves started turning brown. You could tell the trees were being distressed. So that was over like a 2-month period that I noticed it. Now the big trees, I'd see it get on there, and then within 6 months to a year, the tree would be dead.
Yeah. Well, that's unusual. I'm not quite sure what's going on that. But, you know, if you wanted to send me some photos, I can give you some advice. You get a close-up photo would be around 6 inches away, and then stand back maybe around 24 so I can look at it. Then a picture of the foliage, and that should determine what – that should help me figure out what's going on. But you definitely got something going on there. Things you could do right away to prevent is not touch the tree and then or prune the tree and move to another tree. But that – I'm not so sure what that is. I think that may be a secondary sign of the disease. I'm not sure of any disease that's actually caused by there will be that will have that appearance. It may be a secondary thing that's either the damage from the trees oozing some sap or some of the stuff from the fungus, and it's growing on that stuff. It's oozing. So send me a picture of the location that the fungus is growing, and you have a good shot of it, you know, about 6 inches and around 24 inches away, so I can get a good evaluation. And send that to hostoflarrysgarden@gmail.com.
Or you can stick it in the Facebook feed, and we can see it right now.
Yeah, stick it in the Facebook feed, I can look at it, yeah.
Go to Home Pro Inspections on Facebook, and stick the pictures, you can stick video, stick anything in there, and we can see it right now on the big screen.
The thing is unusual is that that it goes to, it crosses these genuses. You know, a lot of times, you know, maples are prone to this, oaks are prone to that, willows are prone to this. So it would make me think that it's an insect. Some type of insect is invading your trees, you know, because there's usually a barrier, you know. Like if I plant tulips may get this disease, but my Shasta daisy won't get the same disease. That's what's a little bit of confusing. You say it's attacking all the trees. Normally when something attacks all the trees or within that range, then it's sometimes it's an insect. An insect could be causing damage and then cause a secondary fungus issue. Okay?
I just noticed the fungus. I don't know if that's what's killing them. I don't see anything else wrong with the tree at all. I dug up around them.
Yeah.
See if there was anything I could find in the ground. I don't see any entry points.
It's unusual that you have that many trees die on your property.
How about your neighbors? What are you seeing around the neighborhood?
I live out in the country. My neighbor's acres away.
Okay.
Like, haven't asked them.
Send a picture of the leaves. Send a picture of the leaves, and then send a picture of that spot where you got that growing, and let me look at it, and I should be able to help you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck with it. That's interesting.
Yes.
There's maybe something's weakening the trees.
Right.
And then this is an attack.
Just like sooty mold. You know, when you get sooty mold and that black stuff on your leaves, it's not actually the disease. It's caused by insects. Insects are their droppings, and the mold grows on the droppings. You know, the sooty mold on there, we call it honeydew. So
right.
There's a secondary issue. And that's what I think is a secondary issue. Or by insects. I would say insects because, you know, like I say, some diseases are specific to some type of plant.
Yeah, it's odd that it's across multiple
all
varieties.
Different varieties. Yeah. Willow, oaks, you know, all this. There is some disease that can do that, but not often. You know, one of the best plants, one of the top five plants, maybe even higher than that. I say one of the top three plants. The
top three plants.
Perennials you can plant in our area and looking absolutely spectacular this time of the year. They're a little bit difficult to get because they're not commonly grown. And it's a shame it's not commonly grown because it's as good as the best plant that you could buy out there.
Well, you're teasing me, man. What is the plant?
It's the tulip of Siam. Okay, it's curcuma. And right now it's...
Does it look like a traditional tulip?
It looks very similar like a traditional... It's a ginger. It's a ginger.
Uh-huh.
And gingers right now are doing great because they like a lot of water. They like a heat. They're disease resistant. There's many properties in ginger, chemicals in ginger that protects them against insects. So the tulip of Siam is one of the greatest looking plants. Comes in pink, dark pink, red, light.
Is it a
purple
bulb? Very similar
it's
to
a bulb. It's a
traditional
ginger.
Tulip.
It's a ginger.
Okay.
Rhizome. And completely durable. And starts flowering now, and not only that is the flower will last on the plant for 2 to 3 weeks in this in 100 degree heat.
That's pretty rare.
Which is amazing. Now, there are tropical plants. So, but if you have a tropical garden, this would be one of the best ones to include in your landscape. If you love pink, white, reds, it will look from a distance. It looks like a tulip field. That's how great they are.
Wow.
Each plant will put up, the more mature they get, the 5 or 6 bloom stalks, and it's in a great container plant.
Are they expensive?
They are a little bit expensive. But
you really need 50 or 100 of them to look
good. Yes. A great border plant.
One or two is not hacking it.
They come in different sizes. We had a load of them. We're planting them in a landscape. We had 50 of them. We're planting them. And when I was transporting over in a truck, I stopped two places. I stopped at Home Depot, and then I stopped at a gas station. It's amazing the amount of people were flocking around the truck. They were going, What are those things? And I said, they're the gingers. Gingers. But if you have a tropical garden, if you like those color ranges, you got to put them in there. They're completely total.
I need to do that
low nutrient
online.
And you can get them. They're not.
Or available. Go to Larry's garden and you'll plant them for me.
Right. They're not available. Another great tropical plant is it has Alpina purpurea. It's another ginger because gingers are really doing well this time of the year. And when you got a plant that will bloom and looks good in August, when it's 100 degrees out there, and they're tropical plants and they're cold tolerant, these are winners. But ginger, Alpina, purpurea, it's a pink ginger getting around 4 to 5 feet tall.
Wow.
It gets that fountain-y look and nice pink flower on the top going into landscape. They're, again, a little on the expensive side, but just bulletproof. They're just and curcuma or turmeric is grown from the tulip of Siam. One of the varieties is a
turmeric.
Turmeric, yeah.
Oh, we use that at home.
Yeah. It's one of the gingers from the tulip.
Turmeric's supposed to be especially good for you. It has a lot of antifungal and other.
Yeah, antifungal.
Good things in your system.
You blend it with coffee. You can put it in with coffee. You can put it in your orange juice. It's a little. I've been eating it for years before we even knew it was a health food. But it's got a strong taste, but it works with a lot of good food.
All things in moderation.
Yes.
6:50 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break, jumping right back on the phones to your calls at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show. It is 6:56 here on News 104.5. Yeah. Should you need a large landscaper for a landscaping project, be it large or small, the landscaper's large, so the project could be large or small.
Yeah, yes.
Larry'sGarden.com. Got the blog, got the video. Frequently asked questions. Billions and billions of ideas there. You may choose to just do it on your own. Or you may look at it and say, you know what? I want professional design. I want someone else to do the heavy lifting. Larry's Garden can do that at Larry'sGarden.com. The telephone number for Larry's Garden is 346-1970. If you're calling outside of the immediate Jacksonville area, Palm Coast, Daytona, Gainesville, wherever, if you hear our voice, Larry can get to you. But you'll need the area code 904-346-1970. Me, Wally Conway, easy to find all the time online. Go homepro.com. Home inspections, pre-listing inspections, commercial building inspections, environmental sampling, like water, like lead, like asbestos and those type things. Also, it is the absolute home of the 18-month home warranty.
18-month home warranty.
18 months. It still amazes me that there are people offering and, comically, people accepting a 12-month home warranty when, for the same money, you can get an 18-month warranty that also has, beyond
a third more care.
5 years on the roof.
Right.
5 years.
A roof.
How on God's green earth does someone refer a home inspection company that does not put a 5-year roof warranty on the home at no additional cost? It's preposterous. Anyway, I get carried away. The website, gohomepro.com. Operators are standing by to take your calls. That number is 268-8211 for our friends, as I say, in the Hinterlands, Palm Coast, Gainesville, and elsewhere. Kingsland, beyond. 904-268-8211. About
small expense on the most expensive purchase.
It's comical.
You know what I mean? It's the most expensive for
penny rich, dollar poor.
Yes.
The one of the interesting things to me is about 600 people will buy a home in our immediate area. You know, the terrestrial radio signal area of WKV.
Right.
About 600, the majority of which will choose a home inspection company that the home inspection inspector has done considerably under 500 inspections in their lifetime, and a fair number less than 100. Home for 35,000 plus local inspections, backed by a 5-year roof warranty.
Amazing.
An 18-month home warranty. It's kind of like hiring a knucklehead to mow your lawn.
Right. Exactly.
It's all fun. It's 6:59 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. We've got Fox News traffic and weather coming up for you. Then we'll be right back for the second hour of the Home and Garden Show. Love to have you participate with us. Your questions, your calls, your commentary at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend. Discussing things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Now, the Home and Garden Show with Wally Conway and Larry O'Neill on News 104.5 WOKV.
Good morning. Welcome to the Home and Garden Show on News 104.5 WOKV. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to the Home and Garden Show. Home and Garden Show is heard every single Saturday from 6 until 8 a.m., which means if you're just now rising, you missed an hour, perhaps next week, a little earlier. The Home and Garden Show features Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden and me, Wally Conway, from Home Pro Inspections. Larry's job here on the show is to bring his 20-plus years toiling in the soil, hardscape, landscape, and all things exterior into the show to provide insight and comment and answer your questions. Me, Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, my job is to share 20-plus years crawling about houses to give you some insight and ideas on how to solve problems, how to prevent problems, just enjoy your home a little bit more. The thrill for us, though, is interacting with you by your calls at 855-765-1045. Special shout-out. We're also now for the last few months have been live streaming audio as well as video, so you can see our smiling faces and our fancy attire as we're enjoying the show together. That is on Facebook. It's at Home Pro Inspections. On YouTube, it is on the channel Mr. Home Inspection. It's also on my personal LinkedIn page, Wally Conway on LinkedIn. So we'd love to have you join us through any of those modalities. If you've got pictures or video that you'd like to share with us that we can then share with everyone in real time, you can post those at the Home Pro Inspections page there on Facebook. So if you got something you're having trouble describing it, just stick it in the page and we can look at it. And one final.
Other people get to share.
Exactly, you know. Right. You get different insights. So there's a good chance
they have the same problem. You know, they get a solution.
Okay. That's right. And you know, I get a lot of vendors checking in. So and say, hey, buy this from me. So
right.
You can do that. And speaking of buying stuff from you, for our real estate agent friends all over the world, actually, feel free to post your open houses or your just listed right in the Facebook Live video stream. We've got people commenting from all over the world. So far today, the most extreme location is Greece.
Yes.
So that was kind of a ringer, though. It's our old girlfriend, Stanley Turner, who worked at the station for a long, long time. She now runs a travel agency in Greece, and she checks in with us almost every week live on the show. That's pretty exciting.
Amazing.
Yeah. So we have people interacting. You might not even hear their voice.
Our sphere of influence is increasing.
Yeah. But I have to say, since you mentioned that, my special fantasy about our show together is to receive a call from the International Space Station. So if you have friend or a family member on the International Space Station, encourage them to call us at 855-765-1045. I've also offered up, if that is not a toll-free call, I will reimburse the astronaut who calls us.
That might be expensive.
With my own money.
Are you sure about that?
With
now?
My own money.
I don't want you in a cardiac arrest.
I've been sharing with you the saga of Tanya and I purchasing this condo and all the funny things that come up when you go from being the home inspector after 35,000 inspections as a company. Now you're a customer of yourself again in this whole home buying process. And I sometimes forget how arduous it can be, all the crazy things. Here was this week's crazy expense in home buying.
What's that?
The condo docks.
the documentation that supports the rules of the condominium association, the financials of the condominium association that proves that they're solvent. The lenders are very interested in that. The lender does not want to see the homeowners association insolvent, where they can't maintain it. It affects valuation and potential assessments and all that.
Their collateral's in danger.
Yeah, exactly correct. So not only are they worried, am I ever going to pay? They're worried, is the association going to do their part? You know, they're worried about a lot of things.
Yeah.
So to get all that documentation in order is not a simple task.
No, not at all.
Not only is it not a simple task, in this particular case, they did not want the individual home buyer, which is me, to handle the documents. They wanted to be sure I didn't fudge the financials of the homeowners association, not just me, but any person. So for only $295, the service collects those documents. I'm sure it's all electronic and delivers them to the lender. I'm like, I felt that $300 sucked right out of my pocket. Like, what in the heck is that? You know, a couple digital documents, $300.
Wow.
Yeah.
We're in the wrong business.
Yeah. The next time somebody complains about a home inspection, I'm like, are you crazy? These people charge $300 a day.
Right.
Maybe later on.
Punch this button, punch that button, and boom, it pops out.
I'll start on the appraisal.
We're not even sweating.
Yeah. Let's check in with Joe and Jack, Joe in Jacksonville here with us. Got some broken tiles. Joe, welcome to the show. Yeah. What tiles are broken? Floor tiles, bath tiles?
They're wall tiles with the little bathtub tray. So, yeah, my daughter was there was a couple loose, and so she took me in there and showed them to me, and a couple of them fell off. It was actually a half dozen of them.
This is worrying me, Joe. So there's the cosmetic fix, which is glue those babies back on, and then there's the concern, what's going on behind that wall? By the time
what I did, what I did before I went to work is I set some fans up to kind of dry it out, just so I could see what condition that that wall board is behind it.
Yeah.
And
how old is that wall, Joe?
I would guess 20 years.
Okay. So likely it's green board. It's drywall with a green waxy. It's not a Durarock or a cement product.
It's not I don't believe so. It almost looks like wood. You know what I'm talking about?
It looks like wood. What you may be seeing is the grain pattern of the glue that was holding it on. It's very unlikely it was wood from 20 years ago. Yeah. So here's my bigger concern. My concern is by the time those dials get loose, when they're mounted on a drywall product, usually that drywall has been compromised. And sometimes, sometimes even the studs behind it. If you can you bang on it in your fist, can you punch a hole in that wall?
Don't fall in there.
I don't think so. It seemed to be pretty solid. I didn't really evaluate it well because I was on my way to work.
Right.
But I'll get home today and it will have had a fan on. It felt like it was still pretty solid. Like
you have another bathroom in your home that you can let that really dry out all the way dry for a week or two.
That's what I told her she'll be doing. She'll be taking a shower in the other bathroom.
Yeah. So let's assume that the drywall is in good enough condition that if we get it dry, you can glue those babies back in. All you really need to do is get that same tile adhesive. And just stick it back in there. And then once that's all done, you want to regrout, and caulk all those areas to prevent moisture from getting back there again and worsening it or causing it to reoccur. That's a pretty easy do-it-yourselfer project.
I think I'm going to give it a shot, though. I was going to end up, as far as, like, holding it up against the wallboard, I just put some studs from my, there's a toilet right there, but there's also, like, the counter right there.
If you use the tile adhesive, they'll stick up there on their own.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Okay. Yeah, I got it, man.
All right.
So the tile adhesive.
Yep.
Tile adhesive and then grout it and then just go ahead and help it out with some caulk.
First, bone dry.
Right out.
Bone dry is life.
Get it.
Okay.
I'm going to let those fans blow on it for at least a week. Is that cool?
Yeah. And you'll know it's all the way dry when you scratch that drywall and it comes out as a powder, not a paste.
Right. Okay. Okay, got it.
All right.
All right, I appreciate it.
Good luck with it, Joe.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye, sir.
Yeah. They still make green board?
Probably. I don't know why anyone uses it any longer.
Right.
Durarock would be a brand name, but essentially it's a cementitious material as opposed to a gypsum base.
It must never deteriorate.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
No, it won't.
It's tough.
It's stronger, and you could immerse it in water for the next 10,000 years.
Right.
And it's just a better way to go.
Right, exactly.
So hopefully this is salvageable.
A moisture barrier behind it, to keep it from any, if you ever had a leak, prevent the rock from the studs from getting damaged.
Yeah, but the truth of it is the Durarock is sufficiently rigid and tolerant that rarely does the tile get weak again,
right,
like it does on the others. It's not bad at all. But caulking and grouting is really important. We haven't had this debate in a long time.
Yeah,
I am. Let me say my piece and then you say yours.
Okay,
I am a fan of a siliconized latex.
Right.
Caulk. And why I like the silicon component is it's immensely durable and water tolerant. Why I like the...
Somewhat immensely durable.
Hang on. Why I like the acrylic base is it's so easy to clean up with water. If you make a mistake, you wipe it off. Now, from the other side is the all-silicon guy. Larry, go ahead.
Okay. Well, if you use silicon caulking on the outside, even in the southern exposure wall areas, if you have a wall that's facing the south in the... It's going to last you your lifetime. It's never going to deteriorate. And I've used both types of caulking, the latex, because you're right. It's easy. It cleans up. It's easier to handle. But you're figuring that on the southern wall, maybe 6 to 10 years is the life expectancy. I removed silicon caulking that was over when I first bought the house. A house that I bought, it was over probably 60 years old. I probably could say the car, 100% silicon, was probably 25 years old.
Yeah.
And still, unbelievable.
And if you make a mistake or you make a mess, it will be there.
It's going to take you a little more time to apply and clean up.
Time.
But it is, and then it is not as paintable, but if you sand it lightly and put a little bit of primer on it, it's paint. But it's indefinite life expectancy. Indefinite life expectancy. Done well.
Your idea is better.
Yes, but
done by the typical homeowner.
Typical homeowner.
My idea is significantly better.
You'll have to redo it. Yeah.
In six to ten years.
It depends on what the exposure. Now, on the northern exposure, it's
20 years.
Yeah, maybe. But on the southern exposure, it just deteriorates so fast. You know what I mean? Because
we're in agreement. I was concentrating on the interior. You're concentrating on exterior.
Well, even the interior. I noticed that the latex caulking in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's probably around 7 or 8 years old and starting to lose its flexibility. It loses it. But I think what happens is that it dries out completely and loses its flexibility. It becomes rigid. And it doesn't expand and contract with the material it's on.
And the siliconized latex.
It remains its flexibility for its lifetime of its product.
There you go. Siliconized latex.
There
you go. I can say it. It's 620 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show.
Yeah.
Looking forward to your calls at 855-765-1045. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 725 here at News 104.5 on the Home and Garden Show. Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden is here. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections. And from the north side of Jacksonville is a man named Tom who's contemplating replacing his AC ductwork. Tom, welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Great. What's up with your ductwork? What kind and what's wrong?
Well, the house that I have, I got for free. And
good deal.
How did you do that?
I had to move it. It was on property that somebody purchased. They didn't want the house.
Okay.
So I got the house. And it was built in 1911. Obviously, there was no electricity AC back then.
Nice.
So fortunately, my general contractor is a friend of mine, and I've been able to take everything my wife and I want to do and have it professionally put on paper. And haven't had any problems until we got to the AC. We're not real persnickety people. We're just organized because this is a project that we've wanted to do for a long time.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Right, and it is. Every step of it's exciting because you get to see what you have in your head on paper. Well, the problem that I'm having is we have all of our furniture. We're older, you know. We're not going to go out and buy a bunch of furniture and everything. We have enough furniture to fill this home. It's about mm-hmm. it's about 1,500 square feet.
Is it a single story?
A single story, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a Georgia Federal, like an old shotgun house.
Beautiful.
We just added on lengthwise. But anyway, the problem I'm having is that my wife, who traditionally gets cold easy, doesn't want the vents blowing on her, and I like the vents blowing on me. And the way our furniture is set up in each room, or in our head right now, the way everything's set up, the guy that's doing our contractor for the AC, I want the vents to blow on me and not blow on her. And I know where my chair is going to be in the room relative to the air conditioner.
Yep.
And so if I just use north, south, east, and west as my directions, right now the air conditioning would be blowing north and south, you know, uh-huh. in the room. And for us, that's perfect. But the contractor says that he can't do it that way. He's got to do it in the opposite direction, like east to west.
What is his limitation? Is it big access in the attic? You're running the ducts in the attic, right?
Yeah, exactly. It all comes through the ceiling. I don't know what his problem is, but I don't agree with him. And I'm just trying to figure out whether we are. So far, everything has been fine.
Right.
But this problem that we have now, I'm just thinking, man, I'm just getting
Let me do some marital counseling with you. I'll do a little marital counseling, a little bit of air conditioning contractor counseling. The single most important thing to comfort in the room is the temperature and humidity. So you want to make sure that the contractor is doing the things he needs to do so that the temperature is properly managed and the humidity is properly managed. The lower the humidity.
But he's saying that it messes up the flow. He says that that's his big thing. He's saying that the flow of the room is going to cause a problem. Here's
the compromise position. The calculations are called manual J calculations, which is total air conditioning. Manual D is the duct calculations. You can do the duct calculations. Let's make believe that the calculation said that you needed a 12-inch duct into that room. I made that up. Just make believe it's 12. Get that same...
It's not that, that's not the problem. The problem...
Hang on. You can have...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can have multiple ducts in the room. So rather than one large one, you might have two or three or four smaller ones. About the total cubic feet of cool air distributed into the room. How you bring those total square feet, there are numerous ways. So I would have the conversation with them about designing the ductwork such that you had multiple ducts into the same room, more than one would typically consider as normal, and you'll end up just fine. You may also consider hiring someone who truly specializes in duct design you might say green building. There's a company in town owned by a guy named Kurt, wonderful guy, Greener Air Solutions. He's a mechanical engineer who is awesome at doing oddball duct design, and your situation is oddball. Very candidly, it's rare that an individual wants that duct blowing directly on them. I respect that you do. Reason I share that it's odd is that's why you're getting pushback from other places. But give that a try. Multiple smaller ducts rather than one large. I know that will be successful if it's properly designed. All right?
All right, can I ask just one more question?
You can, but I'm going to put you on hold till after the break.
Thank you.
It's 7:30 here at News 104.5 WOKV. We've got Fox News traffic, weather, and more of the Home and Garden Show featuring you at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. It's 7:38 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Grateful that you're with us, enjoying the day. I'm Wally Conway from Home Pro Inspections, along with Larry O'Neill from Larry's Garden. If you'd like to check in with us, love to hear from you. at 855-765-1045. Also happy for those who are following along in our live audios as well as video stream on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Over to Orange Park, checking in with Nancy to try to figure out why in the world her St. Augustine grass is red. Nancy, when did this start?
That's unusual.
Just this last week. Last week it was very plush, green, shiny, full of life. Mm-hmm. And it's like it's taking over the whole yard, and spots in the backyard, too. It's turning like a brownish red, like it's dying, like it's starving of something.
Okay. Is the grass thinning down?
In certain spots, yes.
Yeah, okay. It sounds like some type of brown patch, summer patch on that. So just go to Home Depot or Lowe's or the local garden center and get yourself a bag of fungicide. And it's pretty easy to fix.
You want to act quick, though, it sounds like.
Yeah, you want to act quick. It moves quickly. In fact, I do it this week, today, if you can, because it does move quickly. So get a drop spreader and just put it out. You'll have immediate. If you follow the directions, it will stop it dead in its tracks. And then just a little bit, then water it in, and you should be good. It'd give you about 30 to 60 days of protection, depends on how much rainfall. And then for recovery, you can put a little bit of mill organite or a little out there, a little bit of fertilizer, and should recover.
After it recovers, or do that simultaneous?
No, wait until it recovers, and you notice it's not getting any worse, and it's over, and then you just go up with a little bit of fertilizer on there and get a little recovery on the fringes. Now, the area where it's been, working, the fungus has been working for a long time, that's going to be dead, so you're going to have to wait a little bit of time to go, or you can take some plugs from your own yard, or if you're trimming out your flower bed's a little too narrow, you can cut out some plugs from that area and then just replug it.
So the infected part's going to die.
Yeah, whatever is highly infected is going to die. You're just going to stop what its damage is doing, and then you repair that either with some fertilizer. The grasses on the margins will grow out and cover that. Some of the good ways to keep it, a really good thing to do, if you want to keep your weeds down again, because you have an open spot, it's going to be full of weeds in a matter of days here in our area, and get some, topsoil or black cow or any type of garden soil, Scott's, and then just cover that area with around two inches of it. It's going to give it an enhancing growing environment and increase that weed barrier. So the weeds will not germinate because you're blocking the sunlight. And then also when the grass grows in more quickly in that area. All right?
Now, we have a lawn service that comes out and sprays for the weeds and stuff like that. Is this fungicide going to hurt that what they do, or
no,
should they be doing that?
Well, I'd call, if you got a lawn service, I'd get them to come out and take and respray or something.
And ask him if he's been paying attention.
Something went wrong somewhere along the line if they've been doing it preventatively. Yeah, you could be at the tail end of the time, and where they're supposed to spray the fungicide. I don't know what kind of fungicide they are, where its effectiveness starts to decrease. And with a lot of rainfall, it will speed up the ability for it to not be effective. So, lawn service has got it's a big problem, because they're trying to figure out where's the mean here, where's the point where it's too much, where's the point it's not enough. What's the latest insight?
When they see the red grass, means it's time to take
action. Yeah, they need to take care of that. They need to take care of that.
When they came out to spray, they sprayed like the early part of July, but it was all green. This just happened last week.
Maybe they didn't put any fungicide down, and maybe they didn't have it at the right dilution. There could be a variety of things.
Invite them back out.
Yeah. Have them, if you're paying for service, they need to come back out and take a look.
And but don't delay.
More than likely, it's fungus in the lawn, okay?
All right, thank you.
And it's got to be done quickly.
Thank you, Nancy. Okay. Yeah, speed is life.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I was thinking about the gentleman we spoke with earlier who has the house built in 1911. They've moved it to a new location. They're now doing the heating and air. He wants the air to blow directly on him in his favorite chair. The wife says, I don't want air blowing on me. I get that. We talked about having multiple ducts in the same room, have them sized correctly. That's a very simple solution. Something else he could consider is putting a mini split right adjacent to his chair. And then he can have basically Antarctica if he wants to.
Yeah. Or put a heater next to hers.
Well,
you know what I mean?
A wise man once said, happy wife, happy life.
Okay, okay.
And to be truthful, the gentleman who wants that cold air blowing on him, that's the anomaly. It's not wrong. It's just that's not the norm.
Yeah.
So I would make the whole house normalized for comfort.
Right.
And then that individual location that
most
was so
specific. Most guys like it cold. You know what I mean? They ain't going to like it cold. You know, they want it.
Well,
you're just tight on that nickel, you know, you'll sweat a little bit.
In my energy auditing and other experience, it has more often been the wife
wants it cold,
who wants it cooler.
Really?
Yeah, and the remedy is to make it drier.
Okay.
Because when we dehumidify and the air gets drier, humans are comfortable across a wider temperature range.
Right.
And it's about the comfort, not about the particular
California,
temperature.
You know, it could be 80
it's a dry
degrees.
Heat.
It's dry heat. It's not going to make you uncomfortable. Not, you know, 85% humidity.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. So it's real easy. You know, the difficulty is understanding the components of comfort help you design for comfort. It's not the temperature. If it's very humid in your house, as you continue to drop the temperature, it actually increases the humidity. So now you feel cold and clammy. So the colder it gets, the more humid it gets, which seems counterintuitive, but it's just the physics of it all, that it gets worse. If you lead with dehumidification, you get comfortable sooner, you get comfortable less expensive, and you're comfortable across a broader temperature range. So like in our house, we set the humidity at 45%. I set the temperature at 80, and no one complained.
Well, let's ask you this about if you're going to have you install a dehumidifier. How does that work?
Well, I wasn't advocating installing a dehumidifier.
Or if you have your air conditioning.
Yes. If you have a variable speed air handler.
Right.
And it's running slower.
Right.
What happens is, as that air is slowly moving across the cooling coil, it sucks more humidity, more water out of the system. And it's like a hot stove. So if you've got a hot glowing stove, you could hit your hand on it like in a microsecond and it didn't burn you. But if you put it there slowly, it burns you.
Right.
So the slower and longer the contact, the greater the heat exchange. The heat exchange in cooling is sucking out the temperature. When it sucks out the temperature, it drops the temperature below the dew point, and that's when it dehumidifies. The water falls into the pan into the condensate drain line. So comfort is primarily a function of humidity.
So you want a variable speed air conditioner.
So that it can run. It's also cheaper. Speed is very expensive.
Right.
So a slow running motor is considerably less expensive to run than a high speed motor.
Right.
So what happens is the motor runs longer and slower, squeezes more water out, and in the process you get cooling and comfort. It works like a champ.
Wow. Yeah, because when it's dry, you're going to feel more comfort. I notice a difference when it rains and then in the morning, and then it heats up during the day. It's much drier. Though you get all the moisture off the ground, it's readily available for evaporation.
Right.
It's gone, and then even though it's warmer, it's not that much.
Well, that first blast after a late rain, dramatically pumps the humidity up.
Right,
because you get the water hits that
you're
hot tar, bam,
immediately.
Right,
yeah. It's just you're like in a sauna. Yeah,
and once that cools, then it becomes drier.
Yep.
Kind of weird.
If you're getting ready for the fall season, this is the time to start planting your seeds. Seeds are the best thing to do for your garden. They're cheap. You can buy a whole package of seed for a couple bucks. You know, you don't want to spend $40 a head of broccoli, you know, because you spend so much fertilizer, all the cultivation and fertilizer.
My citrus trees.
$5
per orange.
I don't want to bring it up. But broccoli is a cauliflower, tomatoes, you can all start right now. You know, the second crop is coming in, the time for our second crop. Florida has some great advantage of as being an agricultural state is that, you know, we have two seasons, the summer, the spring, and then the fall are two different cropping seasons. Tomatoes are easy to grow in the fall. Have you ever tried this new stuff with broccoli called broccamole? You know,
No.
That's a great idea. I got excited about it. Broccoli, yeah.
Oh.
Broccoli's one of the healthiest foods for you. Like they call
I love
it
broccoli.
Food. And then you can make a broccoli out of it.
Broccoli.
So I encourage you to plant more broccoli if you're a garden.
Gosh, I wish my wife listened to the show.
Broccoli. That's broccoli. Not, man, when I read that and I looked at the ingredients of the recipe, I said, wow, I got to plant more broccoli. You know what I mean? So it's a great crop for now. If you have a rose garden, if you really love to have roses, broccoli. This is the time. Start the fertilization of the roses.
Take me back to the broccoli, bro.
Broccoli, yes.
Have you tried it?
No, I'm going to. I read a recipe about it, and then I was reading about, you know, cultivation of broccoli a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of the new types that were coming out, and new hybrids that are coming out. Then they had a recipe on
put red onions in it.
Oh yeah,
a little. What do you put in to give it a little bit of a
mayonnaise and a little bit of olive oil?
Mayonnaise.
And then they say you can blend the two a little bit of avocado and broccoli together.
That's like a trainer.
Broccoli. Yes. Can you imagine that? Broccoli, little olive oil, little salt, little onion. And
do you have any of the olive oil left I gave you from the olive oil hunter?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But. Wow. But so that's a great recipe. I need to try that out. I mean,
how about cauliflower aioli?
That's another great idea.
Romanesque cauliflower?
Yeah,
it's purple cauliflower.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
It has a texture
yellow,
like a horned toad.
Yeah, yes.
Romanesque.
Yellow,
broccoli.
And they have that purple color.
Yeah.
But
the more color on your plate.
Yes.
The more nutrients you're getting.
Antioxidants.
Yeah.
Higher antioxidants. And broccoli is one of those superfoods, you know, so.
I like it raw.
Yeah, I can eat it raw. They say it's better to cook it a little bit because it's easier to digest.
Well, yeah, that goes back to, what is the name of the chemical that plants secrete to kill bugs?
We were just talking about it last week. Yeah. It starts with L.
Lipene. Is that right, lipene?
No. Maybe, I don't know. It's close enough.
I like it raw.
Yeah, because they were talking about something like tomatoes, it would be high.
Tia just checked in and said broccoli coleslaw.
Oh, yes. That sounds good, too.
With bourbon, Tia.
You can take the stems. The stems would make that get a nice firm. Because a lot of people don't eat the stems, you know what I mean?
I do.
And you can grind it up and make that nice broccoli coleslaw.
Broccoli coleslaw, broccamole.
I mean, we're rediscovering broccoli.
Wow.
And then there's plenty of new cultivars.
I got to take a break and catch my breath.
Well, in Florida. So winter is a Florida broccoli season. So get out there with your seeds and get going.
Broccamole. Uh-huh. 751 here at News 1. I got so excited. Yeah. 751 here at News 104.5 on Home and Garden Show. Brief break. Jumping back on the phones at 855-765-1045. Stay with us. Right back. Welcome back to the Home and Garden Show, 757. Grateful that you've been with us this final segment. And our final caller will be Eric from the beach. See if we can help him with his AC decisions. Eric, welcome to the Home and Garden Show. Got about a minute. Tell us about it, sir.
I have a 17-year-old 4-ton unit I want to change out. And I'm contemplating going with the individual in-room, like the Jitsu units versus
the mini splits.
Right.
How big is the house? 4 tons, but a pretty good size house.
Yeah, it's 2,000 square feet air conditioned under that unit.
Yep. So with the number of mini splits that you're going to need, both the central unit as well as the heads itself, you're going to spend considerably more money. I'd swag double the amount of money to do it.
Whoa, that's a little bit extra.
Yeah, because he's got a lot of rooms. He's going to need at least two.
So when is he going to get cost neutral?
Never.
Okay.
I got to be honest, Eric. If I'm spending my own money, I would replace the existing unit with something that had a variable speed air handler and really do that piece of it well as opposed to the mini split. The exception to that would be is if I'm having a significant comfort issue in a particular room, you know, I might then augment that with a mini split if I'm spending my own money.
That's the exact reason why I'm considering the mini split. It's a brick house.
Yeah.
My master bedroom is on the far end from that unit.
Yep, that's
and
typical.
As it travels thick, it does not cool my room efficiently.
There
the
you
rest
go.
Of the house will be in the 60s.
It was built in the 60s. You know, you may just be able to solve that also with proper returns. If the house was built in the '60s, it almost assuredly doesn't have good returns. So if you
No, the rest of the house will be in the '60s, and my bedroom will be 75 to 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the house was built 86.
Does it have its own return air duct?
It does not. I have a inside central. I have one air handler. For that portion of the house.
Yep. Got to run, and we're at the end of the show, but I would encourage you to have a conversation with your contractor about improving the returns and getting a good quality system. It's 8 o'clock. Grateful that you were with us, and please use your turn signal.
Thanks for listening.